Is there anything that girl can't sing? We are so blessed to have Summer Redmond as part of our worship team. We truly are. Let's give her a round of applause. I invite you this morning, please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And we will be finishing up our Christmas series out of Luke chapter 2 with verses 15 through 20 this morning. Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. When November and December are approaching, Melody, my wife, is intentional to let me know how much she's looking forward to watching the Christmas movies on the Hallmark Channel. Watching Christmas movies on the Hallmark Channel, that's something that Melody and I, we see a nod on the front row here, that Melody and I enjoy doing together. We just enjoy that time as a couple. And just to tell you personally, I do appreciate the movies that are family-friendly that the Hallmark Channel offers. They are a refreshing alternative to a lot of the junk that's out there on TV these days. But I must admit to you also that in watching these movies at Christmas time, I do chuckle quite a bit for a couple of reasons. Number one, every movie is quite predictable. You would think they had the same writer for every movie. And then number two, you really don't learn much about the meaning of Christmas by watching Hallmark movies. Melody and I were actually discussing this the other day, and Melody said, yeah, if you watch the Hallmark movies, if you were to bring someone in from out of our country, somebody that is not familiar with Christmas at all and why we celebrate it, and they were to watch just a day's worth of Hallmark Christmas movies, they would walk away concluding that Christmas time is about romance. Because every movie has this same predictable plot. You have a woman in corporate America who is not really happy with her job, or she thinks she's happy with her job, but she has to take a trip back to the little small town that she grew up in, and there she meets the old boyfriend that she went to school with, or this new guy that's moved into town, and then she realizes how unhappy she is in the big city. So she moves back, they get together, get married, and so forth. So that's every story. So somebody, if they were not, that they didn't know anything about Christmas, they would think, you guys celebrate Christmas based on the Hallmark Channel because of romance. Something happened many years ago, and so this is why y'all have the Christmas season. If you want to be entertained at Christmas time, pick the Hallmark Channel. Watch Christmas movies. They're a good source of entertainment. But if you want to be educated on the meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, don't watch the Hallmark Channel. Remember, I give you these little inserts here and there. We don't want to get our theology about Christmas from the Hallmark Channel. Not a good source. There's a much more trusted source. If we want to have a good theology about Christmas and a good response towards Christmas, then we want to turn to the Bible. And here this morning in the passage that we're going to be looking at in Luke chapter 2, we've already looked at verses 1 through 14. And we've seen how Luke is making this big deal about the birth of Jesus Christ and how he sent an angel to announce to shepherds in a field that the birth of Jesus is significant because God has kept his promise and he has sent the Savior of the world to provide salvation for mankind. And in this passage this morning that we're going to look at in the concluding part in verses 15 through 20, Luke narrates specifically the actions of the shepherds after they've had this encounter with the angel who's made known to them the birth of Jesus Christ and its significance. The fact that Luke concentrates on these shepherds and their response following this encounter with God's messenger shows us that Luke wants us to clue in on their actions. He wants us to see their response concerning God's message to mankind that the birth of Jesus is good news. And what we need to see in this passage is that we should imitate the shepherd's response in celebrating Christmas. When it comes to our own way of doing Christmas, in some way, we should respond as the shepherds do in celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ so many years ago. So we're going to look at the three ways this morning that the shepherds respond to Jesus' birth following the announcement given to them by the angels. So let's look at the text together this morning. Let's read it, and then we'll dive in. Starting in verse 15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it, they wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Father, we thank you this morning for what Luke has recorded in chapter 2 of his gospel concerning the response of these shepherds. God, I pray this morning that we will understand their response, Lord, and how it can inform the way that we celebrate Christmas this year. We love you, and we ask these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. We see the first response of the shepherds in verses 15 and 16. Now, I want to set the context before we look at their response. Remember, an angel has appeared to these shepherds who are out in their field watching their flocks by night. And the angel comes with this good news. The good news that the babe that's been born in Bethlehem is the promised Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The one who is to bring great joy for all people. Now, having heard that message, what do the shepherds do once the angel disappears and this company that was with him singing praises or saying praises to God? What did the shepherds do? Well, we see in verses 15 and 16. Look at the text. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. So what do the shepherds begin to do? Immediately, as the angel departs, they begin to talk with one another. They begin having a conversation. And what is their conversation about? Verse 15, they begin discussing going straight to Bethlehem. There is in this, the way Luke records the summary of the conversation among the shepherds, there's an interesting word that Luke puts in here. It's actually a particle. It's a word that's translated as then or now, depending upon the biblical text you're reading. In the New American Standard, it's translated as then. When it's combined with the word let us go, which describes their action to get to Bethlehem, let us go straight to Bethlehem then, it's Luke's way of showing that as the shepherds begin to talk, there was emphasis in their conversation, emphasis upon their words. There was an urgency in their hearts. Having just had this encounter with the angel, they would not delay to get into Bethlehem. What they had just heard was so important, they would not treat this announcement lightly. Why was it so important to get to Bethlehem? Look at what they say. "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They desired to get to Bethlehem because God had given them a revelation. Remember, an angel is a messenger of God sent down to earth to relay what God wants us to know or to do something on God's behalf. And here the angel had been sent to give heaven's message to earth below that the birth of Jesus is good news of great joy. And so they are going to go straight to Bethlehem. And look in verse 16. It says, they came in a hurry. This means they made a beeline to get into Jerusalem. I don't know how far away they were from the town and the outside fields, but they hurried. They were traveling with haste to get into the town to see the child Jesus. As quickly as possible, with urgency, they are going to see the child. What do the shepherds do? What is their response upon learning about the birth of Jesus? The shepherds urgently searched for Jesus. They hurried to find Jesus. That was their response. There was this urgency on their part to find the Christ child. As a child, I admit, my brother and I, we had many wonderful Christmases. But just to be very frank, our Christmases in our household, they usually weren't very spiritual. The Christmases that we celebrated, they usually focused more on what Christmas has become about in our contemporary world. It was more material. It was more on that consumerism side of this season. My brother and I, we were urgently thinking about the gifts that were going to be under the tree. I remember my brother, Jonathan, and I, we would wake up before mom and dad, and we were trying to decide, do we need to get up yet, or do we not need to get up yet? Are we going to make mom and dad mad because we're getting up so early, and they're going to tell us to go back to bed and wait, so is it right to get up? But man, when we did get up, you know, we were running in there like so many of you did as children, or your children are doing today, because you're hurrying to open the gifts and to see the presents. What if we had the kind of urgency and hurriedness that the shepherds had when Jesus was born? Not an urgency for the material side of Christmas, which is almost consumed this holiday for Christians, but what if we had this hurriedness to seek out Jesus and to come after him with that kind of an emphatic pursuit? There should be an urgency on our part, like the shepherds, to seek Jesus out during Christmas. There should be this part where we are so intentional to know him, to learn about him, to investigate him. That should characterize our celebration of Christmas. And I want you to see that this seeking out of Jesus on the part of the shepherds, it was an act of obedience. You say, well, where is that in the text? Look back up a little bit in verse 12. The angel has told them about the good news of the birth of Jesus. And look at what he says in verse 12. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. The revelation that God had given to the shepherds through his holy messenger was given so that the shepherds would actually obey that revelation in seeking out the child, the Christ child. If we're going to set aside a season of the year and call it Christmas, and we're going to put Christ's name in it because Christmas is built off of the name of Christ, then we need to make sure that during Christmas, we have this urgency, this intentionality to be seeking Christ out. So, well, what does that look like for us? We've only got a few days leading up to Christmas. If you're a guest with us this morning and you would say that you've kind of been on the outsides of Christianity and the church, and you say, I wouldn't really label myself a Christian, let me tell you what it looks like for you to urgently seek after Christ leading up to Christmas. What God is expecting of you is to take him on his word and what he says about his son, to believe who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God who came down and clothed himself in flesh and blood, and he became a man and lived a perfect life for us. And as Jesse said earlier, he came for a rescue mission. He came to ultimately die on a cross and pay the penalty for our sins and to rise from the dead as our champion over sin and death and to offer us what we need more than anything, forgiveness of our sins. You see, God wants you to search Jesus out in that way, to be willing to say, I'll repent of my sin and I'll place my trust in Jesus Christ and I'll receive him as my personal Savior, as my personal Lord. You say, well, Pastor Donald, I'm not quite there yet. I'm not ready to make that decision. There are still things that I don't know and I need answers to my questions. What I encourage you to do, get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you're free to take one that's on the bottom of our chairs here in our auditorium. That's our gift to you. And start in the Gospel of Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament. And I want you to start reading. I want you to read with an open mind and an open heart that God will show you and convince you of who Jesus is. And maybe some of you came with a guest this morning and you've got questions going on in your heart. I want you to pull your friend or your family member to the side and say, look, I don't know what I need to know about Jesus and what it means to make a decision to repent of my sins and to place my trust in him. I need answers to questions that I have. Tell your friend that I need you to go out with me. Let's get lunch, let's get dinner, let's grab coffee. And I've just got questions for you that I need you to give me answers to. That's what it would look like for you if you don't know Christ, to urgently seek after him this Christmas. But for those of us who do know him, what can we do today, tomorrow, and Christmas Day? Have this hurriedness in our heart, this urgency to focus on Jesus. Here's what I want all of us to be willing to do. Starting today, leading up to Christmas, I want you to commit to pray for 15 to 20 minutes each day. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to come before the Lord and you're going to pray this prayer that we would see in Psalm 139. God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any evil way in me, and I want you to lead me in your everlasting way. What you are going to be doing, you're saying, God, I want you to search my life out right now. And I want you to bring to my mind, convict my heart of anything in my life that doesn't line up with Jesus. You see, Jesus is our ultimate goal in the Christian faith. Romans 8:29. God is working in all things in this life to make us more like Jesus, to fit us for heaven. And so God wants us all to be as much like Jesus as possible. And so you're going to have this time of prayer where you're willing to say, God, bring to my mind if it's things I'm watching, if it's activities I've got in my life, if it's attitudes I've developed, if it's things that are weighing me down, pulling me away from you, whatever it is, you're asking God, search me, oh God. I want you to know my heart. And whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, you're going to be willing to say, Lord, you're right. And the best way I know how, I'm willing to lay that down and I'm going to turn from it. And then you're going to tell God, God, these are the positive steps I'm going to put in my life so that I can actually lay that sin down, I can lay that weight down, and I can focus and pursue Jesus the way I need to become more like him. Will you do that? Will you commit to have that kind of searching go on in your heart because you're ultimately allowing God, you're telling God, God, I urgently want to be like Jesus. That is a way that we can hurriedly pursue Jesus this Christmas. See, the shepherds, when they hear about this good news, they urgently search for Jesus. But that wasn't their only response. We see there's another response in verses 17 and 18. Just as the angel had told the shepherds, they make their way into Bethlehem and they find the child lying in a manger, an animal trough. That was the bed that Jesus had. And when they saw the fulfillment of what the angel had spoken to them about, look at what they do in verse 17. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. When they saw Jesus, they could not keep silent. And they began to share the message that the angel had given to them concerning the Christ child. I can just imagine this scene as they're with Mary and Joseph in the room and whoever else was gathered around. They're telling the story, hey, we were just minding our own business. We're just doing work as usual. And all of a sudden, an angel from heaven appears to us. And he tells us that we don't have to fear. He calmed us down. And he tells us that he's bringing us a message of good news, a message that should bring joy to all men, to all women. He tells us that God has sent us the Savior, the one that we've been waiting for, that the Old Testament scriptures promised would one day come. God has sent the one who will save us and rescue us from our sins, and the one who will make us righteous in the eyes of God forevermore. He not only called him the Savior, but he told us he's the Christ. So the scriptures are telling us that they're making these connections, that the one who is the Savior is also the Christ, the one who is to sit on the throne of David and to be our king. He's the one that's going to come and rule us in the line of King David. And he's going to shepherd us and care for us and provide for us. And then we don't know what they were thinking about the other title. Remember, there's another title that the angel gave to the shepherds concerning Jesus. I can just imagine the shepherds maybe scratching their head, and they're like, we don't know what to make of this, but he also told us that the one who's been born in Bethlehem is the Savior, he's Christ, and he called him Lord. We don't know if they understood what that meant, because we know it took the disciples over 3 years to figure out what that meant concerning Jesus. But we know that Luke knows what that word means, because Luke fleshes it out in his gospel in the book of Acts, that Luke was telling us that the one who is our Savior and our King, the Messiah, is the Son of God. He's God who's come down and humbled himself to become a man. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And they're just celebrating in the room with Mary and Joseph and everyone else who is present. God kept his promise. He sent us the Savior. He sent us the Christ. And as people hear, verse 18, some who hear, they begin to wonder at these things which were told to them by the shepherds. It means they're perplexed. They're amazed. They're just wondering at the awesome things they've just heard. And then Luke tells us that Mary, as she heard these things, because she remembers Mary, Luke chapter 1, she's already had a visit by an angel who's told her about the child in her womb that she would give birth to. Mary treasures these things. She stores them away, and she begins to contemplate them. She begins to process them in her mind and in her heart. One of the things that I enjoy so much about Christmas time is that Christmas sets us up as Christians to have conversations with people that we might not be able to have at other times during the year. You see, people are thinking about Christmas at this time of the year, even if they're not thinking about it in a biblical way. And it opens up opportunities for us to be intentional with people to have conversations. I love Miss Linda Roloff. She is such a sweet, sweet woman. My wife and I just love her so dearly. She and I were corresponding, and she was sharing with me an opportunity she had to reach out to someone. There are so many ways we can reach out to people during Christmas. And she was telling me, she simply said Merry Christmas to a gentleman the other day. And he said Merry Christmas in response. And then she stopped him and said, but do you know why we celebrate Christmas? See, such an easy way to get into a conversation. Let me tell you another easy way to get into a conversation about Christ at Christmas. Family members, friends, you could just simply say, hey, tell me what it is about Christmas that you most enjoy. What do you like most about this time of the year? And you listen to them. You listen intently. You affirm them. And you share the commonalities you have with their response. And then that gives you an opportunity to say, hey, let me share with you what I most enjoy about this time of the year. It just brings to my mind, puts in front of me in a way that maybe it's not there the rest of the year, that, you know, God has done something for me that I really needed him to do. God sent a Savior into the world. And then you can launch right into an easy explanation of the gospel. This year, leading into Christmas, I've already done that with many people, just using Christmas as a way to share the gospel. Lakeland Baptist Church, these ordinary, run-of-the-mill, common Joe shepherds how they set an example for all of us to learn from. They urgently search for Jesus, and then they report what they've heard about Jesus. They set this wonderful example of how we need to learn from them at Christmas. These men did not have a degree from Jerusalem Theological Seminary. These men did not have the privilege, and I would say blessed privilege, to go through Lakeland's flight school to learn how to share the gospel. These men, and I want you to think about this, one time they heard this explanation of what had taken place with Jesus in his birth and its significance. One time, they didn't get a second time, they didn't get a third time to hear it, they heard it once. And what do? They hurriedly search after him, and then they just share immediately what they have heard concerning his birth. They simply shared that good news which had been told to them. Luke, in recording this, it's as if the question stands out to us. Will we follow their example? You see, they didn't even have the full gospel in its detail as to how Christ would accomplish our salvation. But we know how God accomplishes our salvation. The babe that's born in a manger, God's not going to give us a gift that's going to go under a tree. As one preacher said, he's giving us a gift that he's going to put on a tree. And he's going to crucify his son. And he's going to judge him for our sins, but he's going to resurrect him from the dead to provide us with deliverance from sin and the grave. We have that good news. And so the question is, will we, like the shepherds, be faithful to share that news, report what we know about Jesus at Christmas? So I want to give you a challenge this morning. We have today and tomorrow, then there's Christmas. Two things I want you to think about doing. Number one, will you make yourself available to be used of God to get someone here for our Christmas Eve service? When you go home today, will you make yourself a note, put it into your phone? This is one time I'll allow you to get your phone out and you can start typing to have a reminder while I'm preaching. But it's to go off and to say, hey, Pastor Donald has asked that I text someone, that I send an email, that I call a friend or a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, and I ask them to come to Christmas Eve service with me. Will you do that? Will you reach out to someone so that they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ tomorrow afternoon? And the second thing, will you, those of you who are willing to be used, God's stirring in your heart, God's working on you, will you be willing to reach out to that friend or family member and just do the simple thing, take them out for a cup of coffee over the next 2 days, get together for lunch, breakfast, dinner, and just ask them in a simple way, hey, let's talk about Christmas. Hey, let's talk about what's going on in your life. What are you looking forward to Christmas this year? And then you use that as a launching pad to share the meaning of Christmas with them and to give them hope for the forgiveness of sins and a right relationship with God. The shepherds, they urgently searched for Jesus. The shepherds, they reported what they had heard about Jesus. And then last of all, they did something else in verse 20. After seeking Jesus out urgently and faithfully sharing what they had heard about him, Luke tells us in verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. After seeing the Christ child and sharing this message with all who were there that day, they left, and look at what Luke says they did. They left glorifying. This is the way they left. To glorify God means to make much of God. The word specifically means that they spoke of God in such ways as to magnify his reputation. They're lifting their voices about him in such a way as to enhance God. To praise him means that they were actually acknowledging with gratitude in their hearts how God has acted for their benefit. So what they did in leaving is they worshiped. They worshiped God for Jesus. So they hurry to search for Jesus, they report what they've heard about Jesus, and then they worship God because of Jesus. As I shared with you earlier, Christmases in our household growing up, they were definitely more material than they were spiritual. My parents loved God, but we just didn't have that kind of leadership in the home where Christmas kept the right focus that it should have had. But as God was working in my heart going into my junior, senior years of high school and on up through college, I just became convicted that we were not worshiping the way we should as a family when it came Christmas time. And since no one else in my home was going to take the initiative to make sure that that would change, I decided to do it myself. And so I spoke with my parents, and I told them I wanted us to start having a meaningful time of worship on Christmas Day rather than making it all about just opening gifts and exchanging good things with one another. I wanted us to have a time to focus on the gift that God has given, which would put into perspective the other gifts that we would be exchanging with one another. And so I would get up and I would study my Bible, and I would come to a passage that I believe God wanted me to speak on, and I would put together a short devotional. We would read the text, and I would give my family commentary on that text, and we would talk about it, and then we would have a time of prayer as a family to start off our Christmas day. That was the way that I wanted us to start changing the tone of Christmas in our household. How might we imitate the shepherd's worshipful response of God in our own homes this Christmas? How might we do that? Let me give you a recommendation, or a few recommendations. Number one, men, have a short family devotion similar to the one I just described. Find a passage of scripture. We've got several in the Christmas Impact booklet that we passed out to you. Pick one of those texts. Read through that text as a family. Make a few comments on that passage and lead your family in prayer. Or maybe you want to pick a Christmas hymn out of our hymnals that has been meaningful to us as Baptists through the years. And you, as you, before you sing this song, you read the song together. And you talk about the significance of the lyrics you're about to sing and what it calls us to do in a worshipful response to Jesus. Or maybe some of you want to do this if you have little kids. Maybe today you get home, you sit down as a family, and say, hey, we're going to do something different this Christmas. What we want you to do is we want you to go take a little bit of time, get in your rooms, get by yourself, and we want you to pray, have a little bit of time of prayer, and then we want you to write a letter to Jesus and start it out, Dear Jesus. And we want you to just tell Jesus what you're thankful for at Christmas time this year. And tell him why you're thankful that he came and became like us and was willing to die on the cross for us. And then what we're going to do as a family, mommy and daddy, we're going to do this with you. We're going to write letters to Jesus, and then we're going to read those letters to him. And then after we read those letters and we talk about them, then we're going to have a time where we sing a song together, and then we're going to pray. And then we'll open our gifts and we'll celebrate the gifts that we have to exchange to one another, having focused on the gift that God gave us the very first Christmas. This past week, I had an opportunity to have a great gospel conversation with a woman in her late 50s, early 60s. I had prayed that morning that God would open a door for me to share Christ with someone. I was at the gym, running on the treadmill. Sweet woman walks in front of me, had a great big smile on her face. And I said, how are you doing? Well, I'm running, trying to keep my breath and talk at the same time, not look too out of breath. And she smiled back and said she was doing great. And I asked her if she was ready for Christmas. And to which she replied, I don't celebrate Christmas, I celebrate Hanukkah. And I said, God, here's my opportunity. And so I got down off of my treadmill and approached her. And I said, well, I'd love to hear a little bit more about your story. I said, how long have you been practicing Judaism? And we began a conversation. She told me that she converted to Judaism over 20 years ago. And so then that was an opportunity for me, after hearing her story, to tell her about the connection between Judaism and Christianity, between the Old Testament, the New Testament. And I shared with her that the Old Testament has expectations, prophecies and promises that are looking for a fulfillment. And the New Testament is the fulfillment of those Old Testament promises and predictions, specifically concerning the Christ that God promised he would one day send into the world to be our Savior. And so we talked about that at length. And having just shared with her the truth that we are celebrating this Christmas, the fact that God has kept his promise and he sent us a Savior just as he said he would, this is what she said to me. She said, "We don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They're still waiting for him." And she said, "But if he does turn out to be the Messiah when he returns, then we will receive him." And so we had another talk about the theological implications of that kind of thinking. But here's what I want to leave you with. God has already sent the Savior. And the response that he's calling all of us to is to receive the Savior that he sent. And the way we receive him, if we are not Christians, is being willing to turn from our sin and to place our faith in him. And the way we receive him this Christmas, if we know him, is we need to urgently seek him. We need to faithfully share about him. And we need to worship God because of him. Let's make the next couple of days a proper response to Christ, a way that would please God. Remember, if you want to be entertained at Christmas, watch the Hallmark Channel. If you want to be educated on how to please God at Christmas, listen to what the Bible writers have to say. Would you please stand? Father, will you please work in our midst this morning? If there's one person who doesn't know you, God, will you give them that encouragement, that strength to say yes to Jesus today? We are here to receive whoever is ready to receive your Son. And God, will you help us all to make Christmas, God, as honoring to you as it can possibly be over the next few days? God, may you look down from heaven above at every household in Lakeland Baptist Church and say, "I am pleased with those families and the way they celebrate my Son at Christmas." God, please have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you need to do? Will you please come this morning?